The text tonight is from verse 22, Mark 9, verses 22. Have compassion on us and help us. The people around the Lord Jesus Christ hear the urgent appeal. Have compassion on us and help us. Do you see them standing there? And we hear the prayer of a father to the Father in heaven. A desperate, hopeless father with a hopeless father with a mute son. This boy cannot even speak. He cannot talk. He cannot cry in the sense like other people do. There he stands with his father. He cannot fold his hands and pray like we can. I hope you do it. It's the Lord's day today. Then we come to church to beg, to plead, if the Lord will bless us, if he will forgive our sins, if he will help us to do our work, to look after the family, because we need him. That's why you're here, isn't it? That you come praying if the Lord will bless today, will bless the word, his word, the work in the family, in the congregation, there where the Lord has placed you in all different kind of positions. Do you really need the Lord in all these day-to-day functioning? You need the Lord in your studying, in your looking after the family, in your marriage? Or do you do it yourself? Well, you'll be misled. You'll be stuck at some point. If you want to do it all yourself, if you want to take care of yourself, you won't last. Like it says in Psalm 32, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Listen, the Lord says, don't do it yourself. Listen to me. Without the Lord, you cannot live, and you certainly can't die. Don't mistake yourself here. And that's why we come to him. That's why we pray to him, the creator of heaven and earth, the God Almighty. And may our prayer tonight be, have compassion on us and help us. Is this how you sit here? Is this your prayer? Praying is going to the Lord. Praying is lifting up your hands, like the Jews would do. Lifting up your heart to God. Oh Lord, here I sit. Please help me. Speak to me. Praying is speaking to the Lord. Praying is telling him about your needs, about your jeopardies, and your gratitude, your appreciation for what he's done, for his blessings. Praying is to expect it from the Lord, not from yourself. That's quite a lot, saying that people should go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we do that? Well, we can't even do that ourselves. It's easier asking someone to do many things, but then to believe in the Lord by himself. We cannot do that. And people know. You can look for advice, or you can seek advice from people, and it may help you temporarily, but not for good. We need the Lord in everything. It's quite a problem if you don't. If your life is structured in a way that you can do everything yourself in a very comfortable manner, then surely you have to consider this again. Well, living in faith, people living in faith, the faithful people that aren't so faithful always, but cannot live without the Lord, need to go to him on a daily basis. Now, this is exactly what the father of this sick boy does. He goes to the Lord. He goes to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's not bad, I would say. Do you agree? I mean, going to somebody for advice that knows the Lord, that follows the Lord, is surely the best thing you can do on earth. It would be stupid to go to people that don't believe. Don't ask for advice from people that hate the Lord, that have disbelief in the Word of God. You're asking the wrong people. Even if you pay a lot of money for it. Now, this man, this father, does the right thing. He looks for Jesus. He has to look for Him. He is stuck with a son that is sick. There he goes. Can you see him walk? It doesn't really say that he came to the disciples of the Lord. But when he was looking for Jesus Christ, then he wasn't there. So he met the disciples and he asked them, and they told him. I'm sure they asked him what he came to do. And he told them, and he asked them for help. Look at my son. Look how sick he is. And it doesn't work. And then Jesus comes along. And then it says in verse 17, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. But you weren't here. You weren't here when I came with my problem. You weren't here when I came with my dumb son. And then I spoke to your disciples, and they couldn't help me. I should have asked you for help, but as you were not there, they offered their help. Or, it doesn't say so, but the process started. The man did his story. He explained to the disciples what was wrong with his son. And they looked at him and they tried to heal him. Can you see it in front of you? And it says here, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. What a disappointment. Just picture this in your mind. A large crowd of people, the disciples of the Lord, with some self-confidence, trying to heal the son. Doesn't say in the Bible how they did it or what they did, but I would imagine that they may have prayed before they did it. It doesn't state it here, but I would imagine so. They did something, maybe one did something, and the Spirit stayed in this boy, in this young man. Maybe did it once or twice or three times. Nothing happened. So you could read the disappointment from the face of the father and the people around it. No result. And I think the people started to interfere with it, like we do in church. If everything goes well in church, people are always happy. The moment there's a problem, everybody starts to interfere. And they put the consistory under pressure, and they know how it should be done better, and you get stories floating around, and the church is divided, and the church is damaged. We have to be so careful. If you want to ruin a congregation, this is what you have to do. Then you have to have division and split apart and start stories and don't live your life like a Christian should live. Now these people would probably comment too. Look at this, it's not working. What's wrong? Probably no restraint, probably no abstention. They don't keep quiet, they speak. But you know what is so obvious here? They don't pray. There's not a praying group of people around the Father and the disciples to pray the Lord will bless these actions from the disciples. Strange, isn't it? Strange that the Bible doesn't say that these disciples weren't praying and these father wasn't praying and these people weren't praying. Do you pray as a congregation? Do you form a praying circle around Reverend Van der Berg because he's here and he has to preach every Sunday twice? Do you form a circle of prayer around the consistory? Children, around your parents, around each other, you form a circle of prayer around people from the congregation, around Adam when he goes to the military next week, tomorrow, that the Lord saves him, that the Lord puts his hand above him and the other young people in this church, or do we forget about it? Well, surely something goes wrong here. And everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. They're completely stuck. And then Jesus comes. Without prayer, it will not work. Pray that the work of the Lord may continue in Grand Rapids, in this congregation. We see it in Exodus 17. Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. Can you see this? Moses with his hands, blessing the people, fighting, praying. And when he became so tired, the children will know this. Just hold your hands like this for a couple of minutes. It's a terrible punishment to do. They will drop. Prayer, this continuation of prayer at all times. Praying congregation, a praying nation, a praying circle around the disciples. We don't read this. Is that the reason? Is that the reason why it's not working? And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Going to Jesus, how difficult is that? For these sinning people, it's difficult for us. Nobody has heard that you shouldn't be going. And then we have some legalistic way of saying that we cannot do it, which is true. Going to Jesus. How difficult that is for sinning people that are so independent and ambitious that want to do everything themselves. We'll fix it ourselves. John writes in chapter 6, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John says, the Lord needs to draw us to him. And how lucky we are that the Lord does exactly that through the sermons, through the work, through your parents. That the Lord speaks and the Lord continues, because the Lord does not want people to be damned. The Lord wants people to be saved. Or don't you believe that? Are you in a kind of a situation of faith? You don't really know. Maybe the Lord chooses me, maybe not. Maybe he will call me, maybe not. Maybe I'm saved, maybe not. And your whole life is a maybe game. John says, if the Lord wasn't pulling us, and just see how different it is that this congregation every week hears the gospel being preached. Isn't the Lord busy in the congregation? Isn't he busy in the lives of people? Listen to the invitation from the Lord himself. Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me through prayer, the Lord says. How can I come? Oh Lord, pull me to you, draw me to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And what should we pray then? Well, the Heidelberg Catechism changes it around. What has God instructed us to pray, it says? Well, that's even more unbelievable. How can the Holy God instruct sinning people like you and me to pray to him and to also expect that he will listen to our prayers? What has God instructed us to pray? Everything spiritually and physically that we need, the Catechism says. Everything that we need in life. And it extends it. It says, the Lord himself has taught us how to pray. The Lord has instructed us how to pray. The people that come to the Lord Jesus who didn't know how to pray. Children, I'm sure your parents are the same as mine. When I was young, your mother and father probably took your hands and put them together and learned you, taught you the words that you had to pray before you go to bed or before you eat. And the Lord says, you know how you should pray in Matthew 6? Thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So how do you pray? Not on the corners of the street. The Lord says, go to your room. Every boy has a room, or a girl has a room. You go to the room and you close the door and nobody sees it in the house, and you go on your knees and you pray. But the Lord sees it. This is what the Lord himself says. And he says, and thy Father will listen to thy prayer. And the disciples didn't know how to pray when they asked the Lord. Such a nice answer. Such a beautiful, striking prayer. The Lord says, you know what you should pray? This. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That's what you must pray, the Lord says. So if you're stuck in praying, pray this. And if you're still in doubt, if you're allowed to pray, if you should go on your knees, the Lord Jesus says, you know how you should start this prayer? Our Father. And maybe you're immediately stuck. If you're on your knees there and you say, Our Father, and you think in your heart, it's not my Father, I don't know Him, I don't believe in Him. Still say it. Our Father. This is what the Lord has taught us. Oh Lord, I know in the midst of my body, in my heart, that Thou art not my Father, because I'm a sinner and I don't have faith in Thee. The Lord invites us to come to Him. And we see it in this story that we heard this evening. In verse 19, He answereth them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. Can you see how critical it is that we come to the Lord, that we end up at the feet of the Lord of Jesus Christ? And if we can't do it ourselves, it's still critical. This boy could not do it himself. He was mute. He didn't understand. And there was a demon inside. There was a spirit in him that did not agree with the Lord Jesus. And even this boy had to come to Jesus Christ himself. And he couldn't do it. So his father had to help him. Bring him to me, the Lord said. Is this what you do, parents? Do you bring your children to the Lord? Or do you forget them somewhere along the road? Are you really doing what is happening here? Is this the mission in life? When are your children happy? Only when their soul is saved. Not when they have a nice career, not when they have lots of money, not when they have good education. That's all nice to have, but not a need to have. A need to have is that they are saved by the Lord Himself. Luke says in chapter 18, Jesus called them unto Him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of God. You see it in front of you? It's parents with the children that need the blessing of the Lord, and they come to Jesus Christ, and the disciples chase them away. Our Lord is too busy for people with small children. And the Lord sees it, and he brings them to Him. He draws them to Him. They came to Him, but they were chased away. And then He blessed them. And He says, the kingdom of God is as such. You have to be as a child. Is the problem very often not in 2017, I hope not here, that the problem is not that the children are not able to come to the Lord, but that the parents form a barrier between them and their between the children and the Lord. In what they say, in what they do. A few days before I came to Grand Rapids, I met someone that was suicidal. Very suicidal. And let's say that it was a boy, and he said to me, you know what? My father is in the consistory of the church. He said, but it's not right. Because his life is not in accordance with the law of the Lord. And this boy, so to speak, knew exactly what was happening. So the father formed a barrier between him and the Lord. Because he couldn't believe it, and it drove him absolutely to a much bigger problem than he had. So what do we need to do? Praying is going to the Lord. Lifting our hands to the Lord, I said, speak to Him and make your need, your jeopardy known to Him, your gratitude, your appreciation, and is expecting the answer from Him, like we heard this morning from Habakkuk. How do we do this? Well, the Lord teaches us. He says in Matthew 6, When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And sometimes you really wonder if people in the church understand what is written in the Bible. That it's not in the length of the prayers that we have, on the nice words that we use. The Lord says, don't stand on the corner of the street. Don't use all these fancy words. Use your own words. Pray, close your hands, and pray in your own words to the Lord, and understand who you're speaking to. And make Him your needs, your urgencies known. The shortest prayers in the Bible are very often the ones that are the most powerful. We read that, for instance, in the part that we read this evening. Have compassion. Have compassion on us and help us. Nothing more. The prayer was so short. Have compassion on us and help us. In Greek it's even shorter than this. And we see the tax collector in the temple. You know, this man that really understood that he was a sinner. The man that made a lot of money. Quite a good businessman, we will say. And there he stood. Right at the back of the church. Maybe in Grand Rapids he wouldn't even come into the door. And he wouldn't lift up. It says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Can you see this man? He doesn't even look up. He's not full of self-confidence. He only looks down. He hits on his chest and he says, oh Lord, I'm a sinner. I realize that I've done things wrong. Such a short prayer. No big story. And the murderer next to the Lord on the cross. What does he pray? And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. One sentence. Every time, one sentence. And we hear the Father, and we hear how the Lord prays himself. How he prays. We hear how he asks his Father for help. These people pray to the Lord. This father stands there with his son probably in his arms, and he says, have compassion on us and help us. More he doesn't say. This man has become careful. He has come to the disciples of the Lord and they couldn't cure his son. And now he's more careful. He sees the Lord Jesus and he says to him, please help us if thou can do that. If thou canst do anything. Is that not familiar? Do you really believe when you pray that the Lord can help you? Do we really believe that if we're on our knees praying for our children, or praying for our marriage, or praying for people to be saved here in the congregation or outside? Do we believe that the Lord hears us? Do we believe that the Lord can really do it? Or don't we secretly within doubt this? Do you really believe that one word of the Lord is enough to change worlds, to change kingdoms? This man is not sure anymore. He has noticed what happened. He saw that nothing could be done. And he wants to go to the Lord and he asks him for help. He prays, he pleads, but he's not sure. What is our attitude? What is our standing for the Lord? If we have such an enormous problem that we cannot fix, how do we pray? What is a good prayer? What is acceptable to the Lord? Now the catechism is actually quite clear on this. What should we pray? Well, only that which the Lord has told us in His Word, has revealed in the Bible. Only that which He has instructed us. And we must pray wholeheartedly, He says. And we may make our need and misery known to Him. In such a way that it's right for Him. And it says we must humiliate ourselves in the presence of the Lord. This is something we don't like doing. We don't like to do it in front of people. And we certainly don't like doing it for the Lord either. Humiliate ourselves. And you know when you can do that, is if the Holy Spirit works in your heart. If you see how holy the Lord is. If you see what great sinners we are. And then, thirdly, the catechism says, we are sure that our prayer, regardless of the fact that we are such great sinners, that the Lord will listen to our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ. That He will hear and that He will answer like He promised in the Bible. So practical. Young people, don't pray for things that you know are wrong. Don't pray for things that you know will end up in sin. I mean, sometimes we ask for things whereby we know beforehand that it will lead to problems. We are sometimes so creative in our minds to do exactly that which the Lord has forbidden us. If you're a married man, don't just go on a trip with another woman and do things that may lead to sin. Be careful in things. Don't pray for things that are forbidden in the Bible. Our prayer has to be created, has to be mirrored by the Word of God, by the Bible, because that's where we read what the will of God is. That's what the Lord Jesus does as well. We read that in Matthew 26. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And then he adds something. He knows that his suffering is so deep, so intense, that it will lead to his death, and he's scared of it. He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Isn't that difficult? Isn't that not understandable how our Lord Jesus Christ lies on his knees and he says to his Father, oh, please take this away from me, but if thy will is different, then don't do it. So we have to think constantly, keep in mind, what does the Lord want in our life? What does he want from us? And then we must realize who we are speaking to, how holy the Lord is. Most holy is the Lord. If you read Revelation 4, just one verse, in verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings, and they were full of eyes. And we see into heaven, you see these creatures there, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. This is what John in Patmos shows us, that the Lord, how holy the Lord is. To him we pray. To him we ask and direct our prayers. To this God we speak. We, from the same book we read in chapter 15, who shalt not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. And what a miracle, what a blessing, that this God that is so holy, where the whole heaven is full of the holiness of God, sends his Son to earth for sinners like us, for the greatest of sinners. And there's no exception made. The Lord says, if your sins are so great, if your sins are such a multitude, come to me. Now, this father realizes that. The father with his sick son understands a part of this. He doesn't see the Lord as an equal. It's not his friend, like you sometimes hear in these special songs, and you are allowed to come to him, but not as an equal. We aren't equal. But we are coming to him with our need, with things that we cannot do. Psalm 31, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Or Psalm 109, help me, O Lord, my God. Save me according to thy mercy. Because it is mercy of God that we can come to him. It is his mercy that he wants to help people. And this father of the son understands that. Have compassion on us and help us. Lord, if thou art not merciful, we are lost. Lord, if you do not help us, my son will never be cured. Well then, if this is the intention of your prayer, if this is your attitude, then you will not go away without help. There's nobody with so much mercy, nobody with so much empathy, nobody with so much love. Human words are too restricted to show how great this love of the Lord is. Love for sinners. It's unbelievable. Sinners need the Lord Jesus. And that he accepts people like us is unbelievable. But it's true. And this is why he says, if you pray, pray our Father in heaven. Who wants children like us? Who wants people that sin every day? Who wants people that just continue with their own lives? He does. Or is this too heavy for you? Is this too much for your understanding? Are you like this rich guy in Mark 10? You see this real neat young man walking to the Lord. There one came running to him and kneeled to him. So this guy goes on his knees. He prays. A young man. and said to him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Can you imagine somebody coming from outside, coming with this question? I think the consistory will be very happy if somebody does that. This boy, this young man says, "How can I inherit eternal life?" He doesn't ask for richness in this life. He wants eternal life. And the Lord says to him, "Comply with the Ten Commandments. Comply with the law of Moses." And this boy says, "This is exactly what I've done my whole life." Could you say the same, young person in the church this evening? If the Lord had said this to you, could you have answered him like this young man? "Oh Lord, but I always did this. I held your Ten Commandments." And he answered and said to him, "Master, all these I have observed from my youth." And then it says there, so strikingly, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." Very logic, isn't it? And that was exactly the problem. This man had a lot of possessions and a lot of money, and this is where it struggled. The Lord looked straight into his heart. He couldn't just sell everything. We would say today, his nice car and his nice house and his nice cell phone and his nice clothes and all the other things, and then give the money to some beggar sitting in the middle of the street. And he couldn't just follow the Lord in poverty and do exactly what the Lord had said, although he wanted the treasure in heaven. He said, and he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now something so difficult, the Lord says to his father, "The man that prays, have compassion on us and helps us." He hears the Lord says, Jesus said unto him, verse 23, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And let's first sing before we carry on. When the answer of the Lord is in our ears. And we'll sing Psalter. Psalm 188:1-4. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Believe it. There this father stands with his son that cannot speak. Then you understand how difficult it is to believe. Even if you receive grace from the Lord. In these periods of difficulty and complex situations. To believe that the Lord will listen, that the Lord will help, that the Lord will change things. May we pray, but we secretly think that the Lord will not help. That He can't help, that it's physically impossible to help. The father doubts if the Lord knows, and the Lord can. He's unsure. He wouldn't put his head on a block for it. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. But will the Lord really be stronger than this devil inside his son? You so often hear of these days that, oh, you only have to believe in these healing groups that people go to. And if you're not cured, oh, well, your faith wasn't strong enough. I've seen people with cancer and people in terrible disease, hearing that they had a lack of faith, and this is why they were not healed. And it's completely different. It is the way that the Lord has determined what will happen in our life. The same Lord that said to this father and to others, O faithful generation, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Now he says to this father that has no way to go to. If he wants his son to be helped, he has to believe. And otherwise he has to go home empty-handedness. What a difficult situation. There's no time in debating this theologically or saying that he couldn't think of any excuse. It was extremely clear. You either believe that I can help you, Jesus said, or not. And the disciples ask exactly the same question later. We read this in verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? They can't understand. You did it, and we couldn't do it. And then we understand what prayer leads to, how important prayer is. We know that the devil is mighty, and that the devil is strong. Or don't you believe in a devil? I meet so many people in Holland that are even doubtful about the devil. Let me tell you, the devil exists, and the devil is strong. So never, youth, young people, look into the things of the devil. Don't interfere in the work of Satan. Don't look it up on the internet or get involved with people that praise the Satan. I mean, there's circles of people praising the devil. The devil is powerful, but our Lord Jesus Christ is even more powerful. We see it here. This devil has troubled this young boy from his youth, and he still troubles him, and nobody gets him out. He terrorizes him. He keeps him as a slave on a chain. This father has to... And I think if you're a parent, you'll understand how severe this is. This father says to Jesus, and oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see it? His father was walking with his son. I'm staying with John Rosebaum, and he carries his son around and he runs after his father. And then suddenly the devil will come and take this little boy, or growing up boy, and throw him in the water before the father could respond, and he has to jump after him to save him, or in the fire because he would burn to death. This is the devil. Isn't this a problem that we have sometimes too? How often are our children not completely under the spell of devilish things? The devil wants to destroy. The devil doesn't want us to be saved. The devil, young people, will stand and laugh when you are lost. Adam, this you must tell people when you sit in the army or in the Air Force. People that go out drinking every time. The devil will laugh when you die and when you're not saved and you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord speaks to this devil. And it says there, and the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, in so much that many said he is dead. We see the force of the devil. We see how the Lord is stronger than that and spells this devil out of this boy. And we see that the devil fights against it. Like he always fights against it. You know, when you don't have to worry about the devil is if you don't want to seek the Lord. The moment you start trying to live and read out of the Bible, the most problems I have with the devil is when I'm trying to make my sermons. Then I'm tired, and then there's something else, and then people phone, and then I'm thinking of all the wrong things. Then when the sermon is finished, then suddenly it's gone. The devil continues to destroy the work of the Lord. But the Lord is stronger. Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter in no more into him. The Lord knows how the devil thinks. They will come back out and never in again. And then the disciples later say, why could we not do this? And he said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And the Lord accentuates to these disciples that we need prayer, that prayer is such a strong weapon against the devil. How important prayer is, how it can stop the devil. Think about it when you, in secrecy, surf the internet for pornography. How you should rather go on your knees and pray that the Lord will stop you. Think about it when you get into your car to get into the secret relationship. Think about it when you fill in your text form and you're so tempted not to fill it in correctly. Resist the devil. James says in chapter 4, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's a promise in the Bible. Resist the devil with the Lord, with the assistance of the Lord, and he will flee from you. And Paul writes to the Ephesians, never give place to the devil. And we know this. Every young man, woman knows, every person knows. You can create a space for the devil in your life. Start with sin, and from the one sin, the next one comes, and the next one, and you start doing it, and it destroys your life. Prayer and fasting, the Lord says, this is what we need. Now, this word fasting in Greek is not there in all translations. But in the Textus Receptus, the one that we use, where the King James has been translated from, and the Dutch Statenvertaling, it remains there. Fasting. That is being so busy with the Lord, that is in prayer, your ear, your eyes, to Him, towards Him. And we don't spend all our time in all these hedonistic ways, all these things that we love, eating and drinking and sexual things. Be focused on the Lord and His kingdom. Fasting is just differentiating yourself from the world and the things around you, but focusing on the Lord. And what is the Lord with people that flee to Him, praying and doing exactly this? Does the Lord hear such a prayer? Well, the Heidelberg Catechism ensures us that He will. Not that we have deserved it, it says, but the Lord will do it because of the work of Jesus Christ. And so you see in the Bible that everything is backed every time to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He achieved on the cross. Read the Bible, the Word of God. Honor the Lord in your prayer. Lift to His honor as much as we can. But you can't do it without Him. But we can only do it if the Lord helps us in it. If He provides what we cannot give. Because He has paid for sin, because He has suffered tremendously. But He is a conqueror over the devil and his demons. We see it here. And He's a conqueror, like Paul says in Romans 7, if we have this fight against sin, He helps us to conquer. And that's why a child of God may believe that the Lord will answer that prayer on His time, in His way. Have compassion on us and help us. And the answer of Jesus, so radical. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. What's the problem? Believe. Is it easy? No, it's not. His Father knows. Paul writes to the Ephesians, by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. And this is exactly the problem the man has. The Lord asks him to believe in faith, and exactly that he needs from God. It's a gift he needs from God. It's not something we think of ourselves. It's not a lesson that we follow from a book. It is receiving it from the Lord, exactly that which He wants us to do, to believe in Him. The Father knows this, clearly understands this, and there He stands. He knows who He is, He knows how weak His faith is, and He knows that the Lord insists on it. And straight away the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You see, the man can go nowhere. The sick son in his arms that may be killed by the devil any moment from now is forced to admit in his confession that he believes. And the moment he has said it, the moment he believes, he knows and he feels, and the devil attacks him. And he says, oh, please, help thou mine unbelief. And the Lord sees it in his heart. And the Lord saw his belief. And the Lord saw his faith, although it was small. And he does what he says. He saves this boy. And this father is so touched by what he said, about what he heard, and what he has to say. He cries. He cannot help himself crying. There's emotion in this. There's no faith without emotion. There's no faith without a change emotionally or feeling inside. Oh Lord, I believe in thee, but thou seest also my unbelief. Be merciful to me. You know who prayed in the similar way? Jonah. The man that chose his own direction, that decided that he was not going to do what the Lord said. And then the fish came and he swallowed him, and then he started to think, oh please, let this not be possible. Let this not be necessary for you. You know, the best is if the Lord in a loving way brings you to faith. But if you go your own way and it's not the Lord's plan, he may use far harsher methods to get you back. Like with Jonah. There Jonah sits in the bottom of the sea and he sits in the stomach of this fish, and then he starts praying. Jonah 2, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee and into thine holy temple. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. There he sits. In the disasters of his life, he has left the Lord. He has gone his own way. He ended up in a situation that he could never get out himself. Then he prays. This is what we must do. Pray. A sinner prays in the stomach of a fish, and this prayer right goes into heaven in front of the throne of God, the Holy Almighty God. And the Lord saw it, and the Lord responded. It says in Jonah 2 verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Saved from the fish. And now he has to go and do the work the Lord has told him to do. And then praying is also thanking the Lord for what he has done. If you see the miracles in your life, if you see the life that the Lord has given you, and the children he has given you, and the blessings he has given you, and the way he directs you in your life, to thank him. Because it is so important for a Christian, for a believer, it is the most important to be thankful to the Lord. The most important part, being thankful, is grace. His Holy Spirit will make us thankful, grateful for what he has given, regardless of the problems we're in. And that is not a once-off prayer, that is a continuous prayer. We remain in contact with the Lord. It is so important to do it because the Lord wants us to do it. And then you may thank him for hearing, for doing that what you've asked for. Oh, this father saw what happened. The son was nearly dead. The son was as dead. The people thought that the son had died in the process of the spirit leaving him. And he wasn't dead. Would he be dead? Would the Lord not be different? Has he not said to us in Luke 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, will you give him a stone? If you ask the young people in the church, if you ask your father for bread, slice of bread, will he give you a stone? If you ask for fish, will he give you a serpent, a snake? If you that are evil know what to give to your children in a good way, won't our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those people that ask him? This is our Lord Almighty. And to him we pray for our spiritual and our physical needs. Pray without ceasing, says Paul to the Thessalonians, when the dead shall live, because the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. If you hear the voice of God, if he breaks open your heart, if his voice penetrates your body, your heart, then you live. And that exactly we see that happening. This boy lies there. He's not only mute, but he's also lifeless. And then the Lord comes and stretches out his hand and he pulls him up, his strong right hand, But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And we see the sinner rising up from this devilish work. And still the Lord does that. How high our need is, our spiritual need is, how much sin has damaged us inside. If the Lord stretches out his hand and he lifts us up, we will live up to in eternity. And you'll be amazed, you'll be surprised for the rest of your life if you see the majesty, the greatness, the empathy, this everything that the Lord has done, his grace. These people around the Lord, around the disciples, around the Father and the Son, do not know what they see. They completely flabbergasted. If you read the Greek word, it says it hits them into the core of their living. How is this possible? Is this the case for you too? In Psalm 52, verse 9, I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Have compassion on us and help us. I know the Lord can do it. Are these your words? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty Lord, we heard this evening how thou saved this son, this mute son filled with a demon spirit. How thy power was so powerful that he was cast out. And that thou art the same God. If we are filled with these demons, the devil that leads us to temptation and leads us to sin, that makes us addicted to sin. Oh Lord, there is nobody else that can help us, that can save us, than thy can. Please give us this faith that we need to believe in thou so that we can be saved, we can be helped. So that sinners can be saved in this congregation. So we can praise thy name and experience the joy of being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, do it to all of us this evening, young and old, every child, every elder. Oh Lord, thou art so powerful that I can save all of us. And we pray for that. And we pray that we may be disciples for thee in this Grand Rapids and the surroundings, that we may pronounce the great deeds that was done in our lives, and that we may explain to people how it works, that we may simply give thy word to them so that they are saved as well. O Lord, will through thy Holy Spirit work in our lives, give us what we need so we can be followers of your Son Jesus Christ. Help us in our living, in the families, in the marriages, in all the activities that we have to do, and maybe come to thee and approach thee in prayer continuously and learn from thy word what our way should be through life. Forgive our sins. Forgive our unbelief. Oh, be with us. Also, when our ways part after the Sunday, we thank thee for the opportunity to be together in this congregation and to pray and to preach. O Lord, forgive the wrong things that were said or done or not said. Help us. Help this congregation and its minister, Reverend Van den Berg, and his family. Be with the consistory. Provide him with wisdom to lead the congregation. Be with the young people and the older people. Fulfill them with thy Holy Spirit. And may thy work be blessed here in Grand Rapids, not only in this congregation, but also in the others, where the Bible is used as the true word of God. Oh Lord, we thank thee for this little baby that was born, and for Jarson and Katie Klassen, that they received a baby girl, and that mother and the child are healthy. Oh, what a great thing that we are thankful for. That the youngest member of this congregation that doesn't even know yet has been born. May our prayers be directed also for this child, that she may grow up and be a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that she may provide happiness to their family and to others in the congregation. Be with the mother, O give her health back and her strength back, and the father to care for his family. Be with all the families in this congregation. Oh, and the marriages, so that man and wife stay together and both pray to thee and for their children. Be with the marriages and the where there are no children, where mothers and fathers wanted to have children and it did not happen, it did not materialize. Oh Lord, give what is needed in those situations. We also pray for Adam Bazin, that will go to the military tomorrow, to the Air Force, for 6 years. Oh Lord, be with him when he goes to a situation where a lot will be demanded from him, and may he may be one of the few that know thy name and that know thy word. Oh, protect him. And we pray for the family, his father and mother and brothers and sisters, to be with him in their prayer. We pray for everyone in the congregation. Oh Lord, go with us. If we stay, stay with us and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.